This Reformation Sunday is Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke. though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The psalm this morning is Psalm 46. We shall read this together.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change,
though the mountains shake and the heart of the sea,
though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes
war cease to end here. He breaks a bow and shatters a spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Second lesson this morning is Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what comes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law.
Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, and the slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite any of our children to come forward for the children's message. And Vicar Matt, would you hand Ben my water bottle?
Yes. Ben. Can you give that to Pastor Kate, please?
Thank you. This isn't an object lesson. My throat's just scratching. Friends back, huh? Good. Okay. Good, you're all up here. All right, I have a couple things I want to show you. First of all, I want to show you the t-shirt that I'm going to put on after church. I want you to let me know what you think. What do you think? Will it fit? Are you sure? Maybe? It depends. Let's see, do you think I can... Oh, I can't even get it up my arm. I think it's too small for me. Do you think it's too small for me? Do you think it would fit somebody smaller?
Yeah.
You think it would fit you? You want to try it on? See if it'll fit you. Put it on. Let's see. Because why will it fit you and not fit me? Give it a try, yep. It fits you. Put it on. Let's see your arms. You may have just gotten a free t-shirt out of the deal. It does fit you. But that t-shirt once fit me. Why doesn't it fit me anymore? Because I grew and I got bigger. But it fits you, huh? Good job. Well, since that one fits you, I've got another outfit that I think I might want to try to wear. How about this one? Are you sure? Will it fit you? Will it fit you? Will it even fit baby Reagan over there? Certainly not, her mama says. Why? Why won't it fit any of us up here, even baby Reagan, the littlest one up here? Because it's too small. Do you think this may have one time fit her? Yeah. Why doesn't it fit her anymore? Because why?
Because she's a baby.
She's a baby, but this would have fit a baby at one time, right? Just like this shirt would have fit me at one time, right? So same reason. Genesee, you said it. Why doesn't this shirt fit me anymore? And how about this for baby Reagan? Why wouldn't this fit her anymore? She also grew. Well, you know what? All of you are still growing, aren't you?
Yeah.
You do still have little feet, but are they bigger than maybe they were when you were a baby? Yeah, do you think they're going to be as big as Genesee's one day? Check out her shoes. Those are some fly shoes. I like those. Yeah, so we're always growing, right? And every time we do, we are being made new. You know that God helps us grow and change and new things happen? How many of you are in school? Are any of you in school? We got a couple who are in school, right? Someone's in school. You're in fifth grade, so did you start a new grade in school this year? What's it like when you start a new grade in school? Oh, Genesee, fun, but also nervous, kind of scary. You too, Jack? Kind of scared? You like having fun and playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes new things, they can be fun and exciting, but they can also be a little bit scary. But you know what? Our God is always making us new, always making things new, and that can sometimes be scary and sometimes be exciting. But we know...
Always
when you do something new, it can be scary and exciting? You do have little arms and little hands and little feet, but you're growing.
I have a phone call that
you can and it's worth it.
Oh,
because
mother knows
and
scary.
Yeah. Sometimes new things are scary, but I think, who do you think is with us whenever we try new things?
God.
God's with us. So maybe we can kind of remember that even though things are always kind of being made new and always kind of changing, God is always right here. Yeah?
I saw a spider once back on Mount Sinai.
You saw a spider in mom's bathroom? I bet that was scary too. All right, well, thank you so much for coming up, and thank you for playing with my little experiment here. And you can head back to your seats now. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we celebrate our reforming and being reformed, we pray that you would walk with us in times when things are being made new, and know that through it can be exciting and scary and nervous, but we know that you walk with us. In your name we pray, amen. So for those of you who this is your first time in a Lutheran church, you may wonder why all these folks are wearing red and why we keep celebrating this thing called Reformation. You might be wondering, where in the Bible is Reformation celebrated? Well, it's not. I'm going to give you the briefest of histories about why in the Lutheran Church we celebrate this day. So throughout our Christian history, which is about 2,000 years old, about 1,000 years into its history, there was kind of a great split where all of a sudden, instead of having one church, there was really two main churches, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. It took 1,000 years to get there. And then there was another 500 years before the next kind of split happened, and that happened in about 1500, where we had the Protestant Reformation. So a 1,000-year break, 500-year break, and then from that moment, splits upon splits upon splits. About 500 years ago, there was a man named Martin Luther who was studying as a monk, and he looked at the Catholic Church that he was at, and he said, you know, there are some things in this church that need to be reformed, that need to be fixed, that need to be created differently, because I feel they're getting in the way of how the gospel is taught. And so he never set out to start a new church at all, and he certainly didn't want a church named after him. He wanted to reform or make recommendations to the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church that he was a part of. However, that didn't sit too well with those in charge and those in power at the time, and a new church was formed. And then there was another disagreement, and a new church was born, and a new church was born, and a new church was born. And so we had 1,000-year history before the first split, 500 years before the next big split, and probably haven't gone 6 months since then before we had a different church split because of something or another. But the reason why in the Lutheran Church we celebrate today as Reformation Sunday is not to celebrate this one man, because he was just a man. He was very flawed in his own right, if you read up on him, but he had some good things to say. And one of the things that we like to celebrate is the idea that at this time we understand that the church is not a stagnant body, it is not a stagnant entity, but the church is always living and growing and changing and being reformed. Just the plethora, I tried to look up how many thousands of Protestant denominations there are, and I couldn't get a clear answer. Like, some are like 5 million, and some say 12,000. So somewhere between 12,000 and 5 million different denominations. But there's a lot of them. So Luther himself was an advocate for change, which is kind of funny because, especially in this worship, our traditional worship, we often think of Martin Luther as a man with a plan who wrote out how we should interpret the Bible. And we like that he was a clear-cut man, and he wrote songs like, "Oh, my team, fortress, it is our God." That's a good beat to it. But really, Martin Luther wrote and changed his mind many, many times. The number of brilliant theological ideas that he then, 10 years later, would write the opposite of is overwhelming. It was the custom during that time, historians may know this a little better, it was a custom during that time that when somebody was deceased that they would make a death mask. They'd make like a plaster mask of their face, and also since he was a writer, they also did it of his hands. And if you look at it, his left hand is normal like this, his right hand is curved, permanently curved at an angle from all the writing that he did. Volumes upon volumes and changes upon changes. In 2014, the ELCA started a campaign, the ELCA denomination. They started a campaign that they were doing, and they titled it Always Being Made New. It's from the 2 Corinthians verse. Always being made new. It says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. For some in here, that is good news. And for others in here, that is very, very fearful. I love Genesee, how I asked her what starting a new class was like in fifth grade. She said, exciting and kind of scary. I think that's how we approach a lot of change, isn't it? We either say scary and a little bit exciting, or exciting and a little bit scary. I think we're people who can sometimes be fearful of change, fearful of new things. It was maybe about a month ago or a couple months ago, we were introducing a new hymn that we just had never sung before. And I happened to mention to somebody, well, we're trying this new hymn, we'll see how it goes. And this gentleman said to me, he said, you know, we're Lutherans. For a church that is founded on change, we're awfully resistant to it. And I thought, how true that can be. We talk about Martin Luther, this man who was a reformer, one who makes things new. Just even look at that word, reform. Want to take what we have and form it into something new. Because as a reformer, he didn't want to come in and alter the gospel. He didn't want to get rid of chunks of what Jesus was saying, but he wanted to alter the practices that were getting in the way of hearing the gospel. Because just like we don't have a stagnant church, we don't have a stagnant word. We have a living word. This book is the living word. And that can be hard for us because we like to think that what's written in the Bible is set for us and that's all we need to know. But it is a living word that grows and changes, not because the words change, but because we change. Not because God's word changes, but because the world around it changes. And that discipleship, that living into that, needs to be tended day in and day out. It's not as though we become people of faith and then we're done growing. We have to work at it. Because having already received the promise of salvation, the never-ending, always faithful promise of salvation, now our discipleship is our work in the kingdom. Our discipleship that is continually centered on the cross. Because salvation is a gift given by grace through faith. And faith is not something that you work towards. Faith is like falling in love. The first time you met your beloved, or the first time you held your child, or grandchild, or niece, or nephew, or even a beloved pet. Falling in love moves us to want to do whatever we can for our beloved, or for that child, or for that pet, or for that God. So in discipleship, we don't work at making ourselves better, but we work at showing that love that was given to us through grace by faith, showing that love to the world, showing that love that Christ first fell in love with you, giving up everything on the cross specifically for you. Not because you earned it or did all the right things or said all the right words, but Christ died out of his love for the world so that we can be free from all that holds us. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says in verses 35, the slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. When we understand this, when we understand what Jesus is getting at, when we embody this, when we act out this understanding, then and only then are we truly free to respond to the world in love. Not because we have to or we should, and not because we are slaves to our own works, righteousness, but because the Son has set us free. And we are so filled with God's love and the truth of Jesus Christ has set us free. Freed from what we should do. Freed from what we feel we are bound to. Freed from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Free to be disciples, free to love the world as Christ first loved us. As Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Jesus understood sin. Just because he himself was sinless doesn't mean that he did not understand what we were going through. Jesus understood the power of sin to enslave us. And I think sin takes many forms. Not just actions that we do against one another, but sin is anything that separates us from God's truth. It might be disappointment, or illness, or unemployment, or depression, or hurt, or failure. Whatever binds you, it's not just your actions. These things are very real. These things are very real in our lives, and they do matter. They may be very truly descriptive of us, but they do not define us. Nothing, nothing that you have ever done or ever will do fully encapsulates who you are. Only one thing can do that. God. The creator and sustainer of all has chosen you to be his beloved and most holy and precious child. That is the only thing that truly defines us fully. So are there things that bind us? Are there things that we are enslaved to? Of course. All of us have something. So what's yours? Maybe money, maybe a boss or a teacher, maybe your health or your anger or your fear. So often I think we start out by making our decisions not out of love, but out of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of losing what we love, or fear of others. When we get set in our ways, when our ways and our traditions get in the way of the heart of the gospel, I think about that reformer 500 years ago, about how he looked and how things were, how he looked at the traditions of his time and said, I know that this is how things have always been, but I don't think this is what Jesus is commanding us to do. And he set out to reform, to look at us and realize that we are always being made new. Because we are death and resurrection people. This is the fundamental teaching and preaching of our church, right? Death and new life. Jesus died and rose again. There was the resurrection. This is the core of who we are, but so often I think we want new life without first having to go through the death. Or more importantly, I think that it's possible sometimes we want new life, but we want to look as much like our old life as possible. But in the spirit of reformation, we are death and resurrection people. In the spirit of reformation, what needs to die for new life to take place? What in your life do you need to let go of so that the Holy Spirit can get down to work? What needs to be reformed? What needs to be changed so that the unchanging message of the gospel can be shared? Because we indeed are always being made new. Because even when we are resistant to change, in Christ, we are always being reformed, always being forgiven, and always being made new.